Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. More than a quarter century after the first episode premiered, Inside the Actors Studio opens a new season Sunday night. There's plenty new this Inside Go Round, starting with a new home, Ovation. Liz Yenaman, the network's executive vice president of network strategy, and Inside executive producer Sue Schreiber, joining me next in an internet radio exclusive. More on the new TV front next half hour when DeSales Media Group senior manager Alexandra Pina comes on to discuss a new Latino-centric initiative and more. Also ahead, Apple forms an in-house TV studio and our classic trivia question. Hey everyone, I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker, and presented on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a trio of audiobooks when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrials.com/televised. More details later in the program. A wonderful Friday afternoon to you and all, and welcome once again to the program All About Television. And to all our Jewish listeners, we hope you had a very safe and easy Yom Kippur earlier in the week, and that your new year is off to a super start. I have some wonderful guests for you over the next hour, and we invite you to be part of the program. All it takes, you calling us. Here's how you do it. You pick up the phone, and you use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the world here on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. And if you're shy about the phone, that's no problem with us because we have a chat room in business for you. It's Simon Apple 04 by name, and you can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Either way, phone or chat room, we get you involved. And while the program is on the air, you can connect to others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk or speaker screen. Follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. 63 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York, and our guests from Inside the Actors Studio Innovation join us live from Los Angeles after these news notes. Apple has a new pipeline for Apple TV Plus programming, an in-house production venture. Masters is its name, titled after its first project, World War II set miniseries Masters of the Air. The 9-episode effort is a follow-up on award-winning HBO miniseries Band of Brothers and The Pacific, presented in 2009 and 2010 respectively. Steven Spielberg and Tom Hanks, who executive produced both programs, will re-team with Apple on this one, which deals with the exploits of the 8th Air Force over Germany, and based on a book by historian Donald Miller. Spielberg separately is producing a revival of his 1980s NBC anthology series Amazing Stories for Apple. Jamie Ehrlich and Zach Van Edberg, overseers of Apple TV Plus, will preside over Masters. No word yet on other presentations Masters is working on. HBO has acquired U.S. rights to Manic or Maniac Cop. It's a TV series based on a movie series of the same name. Cop film director Nicholas Nepin will be the lead producer of the TV series, which gets production in Los Angeles going next spring. Dario Argento, the Italy-based director of such horror flick classics as Suspiria and The Bird with the Crystal Plumage, is turning his attention to TV work. He's working on Langouris. It's a reality-bending series set in Europe. Langouris is expected to be pitched for global distribution next week at MidCom, the annual fall content marketplace in Cannes. We'll keep you posted on the happenings over there next week on our program. Breaking news in the last half hour, Game Show Network or GSN's revival of Catch-21 with Alfonso Ribeiro back in the host spot will debut later this month. We don't know yet what the time period is or the date, but we'll keep you posted. And High School Musical, the series, one of the first original programs on Disney Plus, will get a special opening episode simulcast November 8th on ABC, Disney Channel, and Freeform. Disney Plus debuts 4 days later. And that is news notes for today. 25 years ago, and a little change, the summer of 1994, a program came on that turned the art of the interview into a very special art indeed. Inside the Actors Studio, produced at the Fame Entertainment location in New York and then later at Pace University on that campus near the Brooklyn Bridge, Inside the Actors Studio was a unique and intimate look at some of the finest actors of our time, from film, from television, and the stage, all hosted beautifully by James Lipton. It was the way he interviewed, it was the way the guests responded, and it was the end of the show where the students at the Actors Studio had a chance to question the guests that made this show very special for over 20 years on Bravo. The show received a number of Emmy nominations and won one along its run. Now, Sunday night, Inside the Actors Studio is back for its 23rd season, but with a new host, a new network, and some new wrinkles to the format. Joining us live to talk about the return of Inside the Actors Studio and the two people involved, first, from Ovation, the new network where it's running, is one of its key executives, the Executive Vice President of Network Strategy, Liz Yanaman. Liz, welcome in.
Thank you, Simon. Proud to be here.
Same here. And joining you live in Los Angeles is the executive producer of Inside the Actors Studio, Stu Schweiberg. Stu, great to have you with us.
Hi, Simon. Thanks very much.
It is a pleasure. Stu, why has Inside been a tremendous success for so long?
Well, I think it's separating from all the other interview shows because it's a career interview, and it's a time where, you know, so much of television is about rushing through things, and this was always a special place where you could take a break. The format allowed everybody to slow down, and it was a way to get inside a truly career interview for those people that had, you know, 20, and these are the greats, the people that had 20 and 30 and 40-year careers. It was the only format of its kind that allowed that kind of breath within an interview format for television. And I think Dave Lipton had a very special – I'm sorry,
go ahead, Stu.
I was going to say, I think James Lipton had also a very, very special style, right? It was part academic, part psychologist, part professor, part mentor in some cases, part friend, and that style created a really interesting chemistry. But again, I think it was the rhythm of the show that separated it from all other interview series.
We have somebody, by the way, in our chat room. Welcome aboard. You have a question or comment for our guest? Get on the room with a question or give us a call, 646-652-2906. Before we get to Liz, one of the things, too, you mentioned James Lipton, the host. He seemed to have this idea of being very erudite, but he was also very grounded. He was very down to earth, and he really not only interviewed the subject, but he also gave, as you said, like a story kind of format, like from start to finish. So he really got a chance to hear and see this career and have the guests respond to it in full fashion.
Yeah. I mean, listen, the best interviews and the best interviewers understand that they have to build a narrative, right? A clear story that has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And certainly Jim was a master of it.
Liz, how did Ovation get the opportunity to take the show on?
Oh, this has been a desire of Ovation's for many, many years. The philosophy of Ovation, its mission, its purpose to promote the arts and dedicate a voice to the arts is the same mission that the Actors Studio has. And we've had our eye on this show for so long, and we just weren't able to get it because another network had that opportunity to forecast it and to promote it. And once we were engaging with the Actors Studio and they informed us that it was possible that Bravo, which was the network that's been its home for so long, was probably not interested any longer in continuing to air the show, well, we seized on that opportunity. We were waiting for the day that we would have the opportunity to engage with the Actors Studio and bring this show to where we felt was the rightful home, on an arts channel, to give it the space and the opportunity to reflect on the craft. And that's something that we thought was lacking elsewhere. Change in strategy, obviously, at Bravo, they gave it up, and we seized on the opportunity to take it.
And what's been the reaction of Ovation's audience and advertisers to having Inside back and having on your network in advance of the premiere Sunday night?
A perfect fit. Everyone is thrilled. It's an absolutely fantastic environment for advertisers to be a part of. Viewers are thrilled that we're bringing the show back. And more importantly, we're bringing the show back at a place and a time where people can expect every week to see it starting this Sunday at 10 o'clock for 8 consecutive weeks. That was a commitment that we made because we've heard previously that it was very sporadic whenever it was on Bravo. No one knew when it was on. No one knew when to expect it. And when we announced to our fans that we were going to give it a home, a time period, a time to tune in and watch, They were thrilled that we were making that commitment. So all around, you know, incredible, positive enthusiasm from everyone.
And Inside the Active Studio will begin its 23rd season on television this Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific Time on Ovation, which is the Performing Arts Network. We have Liz Gentleman, who is one of the key people at Ovation. She's the Executive Vice President of Network Strategy, and also with us from Los Angeles, the Executive Producer of Inside the Active Studio, Sue Schreiberg. And they're both with us live this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Finally, Applebaum with you live from New York. We're at 63 degrees at the top of the hour. You have a question or comment for our guest. Don't be shy. Make your move and call in 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Got a big 90-minute show for you coming up on Monday. We're starting it at a special time, 2:30 p.m. Eastern, 11:30 a.m. Pacific. That's a half hour ahead of normal. And our first guest who will join us at the 2:30 half hour is Michael Winter. He's executive producer of a new series on Crackle. That's the network that used to be owned by Sony and now available on smart TV sets and smart devices through Chicken Soup of the Soul Entertainment. And he's doing a new series with Ashton Kutcher involved called Going Through From Broke. It's about people who have hit the financial skids and they're trying to make their way back with Ashton's help. And Michael's also involved with Chicken, so we'll find out what they are doing in the world of smart TV set and smart device programming in the months ahead. In addition to him, we'll also have the two executive producers working with Steven Soderbergh on the brand new Star documentary series Leavenworth, Paul Podolsky and David Chek. And finally, the managing director, the new managing director of the New York City Media Lab, Steven Rosenbaum. That's all coming up Monday, 3:30 Eastern Pacific, right here exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Stu, given that James Lipton had said last season that this was going to be his final turn as the host, how did you decide to come up with the host format? Did you look at a single host again, like Lipton, or did you decide to go rotating hosts? What was your strategy before you settled on what you did?
So, Simon, you can't try to replicate what James Lipton did, right? He had his own style. And so we were trying to figure out our challenge, which is really to preserve the narrative of a career interview, be able to deliver that full story, and yet connect it to a new generation. And so we started to think about a way where we could make this the environment a little less, and the tone a little less academic, a little less formal, remove the desk that separated the interviewer from the subject, from Jim, literally and figuratively, and make the interviews more of a conversation with a baseline dynamic between the two people, meaning find two people that have an established relationship, a relationship that already exists. Maybe they were co-stars. Maybe they're friends. Maybe there's a mentor-student relationship. Maybe one is simply truly a fan of the other, and be able to kind of build on that foundation, on that sense of really a conversation where there's a little bit more flow, a little bit more overlapping dialogue, and a little bit less structured than from what Jim did, but still being able to deliver the full story. And that's why when we started to look at this first season, we started to think of interesting combinations. So we went to people that had either worked together or had known each other for many, many years, and we started to find combinations that ranged from an Alec Baldwin and a Henry Winkler, a Kelsey Grammer and a Jim Burrows, a Pedro Pascal and a Willem Dafoe. Interesting combinations that would give us, at the very core, a really interesting relationship to build upon.
And the first episode on Sunday night is Alec and Henry. And why I say it's a very interesting combination because Alec, of course, has done so many things in the world of television and film. But Henry, of course, has just come off, winning the Emmy Award again for Barry. And, of course, getting great reviews for his work on that series on HBO.
Yes. Well, I mean, look, Henry is one of the iconic personalities, but the thing about Henry is he's a true survivor. I mean, Henry had this meteoric career in the 70s. Of course, he was on Happy Days as Fonzie. He had an incredible rise, but he also had times when he couldn't necessarily follow up Fonzie. It's very, very hard to, you know, continue that type of level of status, you know, in a post-Happy Days world, but he was able to do so. He has a very, very interesting story. And, of course, it bookends nicely with the phenomenal success he has now on Barry winning the Emmy. So Henry is a great example of somebody that could hold a very, very long interview because there's so much to talk about, and there's a clear dramatic arc when you tell Henry's story. And Alec, who of course is not only one of the co-presidents of Actors Studio, but also does the podcast Here's the Thing and has, you know, done a lot of interviews as an interviewer for the last, you know, several years, was a perfect choice. And the combination there, because they're very much contemporaries, is, I think, quite honest and very revealing. And I think the hour and a half is very, very compelling.
Which is unique because some inside previous episodes were mostly an hour, but some were 90 minutes to 2 hours.
Some we wanted, just like we're having the flexibility of combinations of who's the interviewer and who's the interviewee, in some cases we felt that if the conversation is working as well as we think it is, why not expand it to a 90-minute format? So I think, yes, while we, in some cases, the baseline is certainly an hour, these are hour, built as, you know, hour episodes, there are going to be cases where they're going to be 90 minutes, or maybe in one case, there may even be a 2 hour. We want the material to drive the time as opposed to the time to drive the material.
Mm-hmm. Liz, did you and your fellow executive Ovation suggest any possible team-ups or match-ups for this new season?
You know, it's a collaboration in terms of everyone sort of providing names and inputs on who the, you know, potential hosts and co-hosts would be. You know, as Stu said, this is really about a partnership between these two people. So you feel like you're in the living room listening to them have a friendly conversation about their lives, about their successes, and about their failures. And I think that's an incredibly heartwarming approach to the series. So it's a collaboration from a variety of fronts, in addition to collaborating with Inside the Actors Studio folks to get their inputs on perspective, names, and talents. So we work together, and I think we've got, you know, an incredible list of people being on the show over the next, you know, next 8 weeks. It is absolutely not only star-studded, but rich in discussions and honest and raw conversation because of the comfort factor between these two people that they can talk about and feel open about their conversations. It really allows you, the viewer, to have an intimate listen into a conversation about their lives. And I think that's what makes the show special.
Simon, I think what also makes the show special is the environment itself. When Jim was doing the show, the audience wasn't integrated into the format as, you know, throughout the hour. There was the pivot questions and there was a definite format structure. But I think what we have also tried to do was bring that audience into the show. And what I mean by that is visually, is connecting the audience. And you have to understand that that environment really has about 100 MFA students, right, Masters of Fine Arts students from the Actors Studio in the front row. And so these actors that are coming on really do feel that they're part of this fraternity and they're giving back. You know, it's a different dynamic than if they were on any other interview show because the audience is so much dominated by the very students. In many cases, those actors sat in these very seats not that long ago. And so that dynamic we want to deliver both visually and also in the creative direction of the show. We want to feel and we want to see those students around these people. And that creates a very special environment, one that feels much more honest. You know, they feel much more relaxed in that setting.
And back to one of the highlights of Insight from the get-go was the last few minutes where the guests would talk directly to the students and the students would ask the questions. And then you had that last minute or two when Angelo Badalamenti's music was starting to swell up, his great theme music for the show. And you saw the students really mesmerized by the guests giving like a parting, you know, a parting thought, a parting like here's a moral to live by. Is that still captured on the series?
Yeah, very much so. The way the show breaks down, it's about two-thirds of a one-on-one interview, and then the final third is open to a Q&A with students. And that's where, once again, you really see these actors feeling like they really want to give back, you know. And it's very specific. Some of it is specific about technique and how to handle auditions and how to deal with casting sessions and how to deal with the anxiety of a first day on a set. It goes into some of that mechanic. But there's also that general sense of, you know, how do you build confidence? How do you become successful in this profession? And so, again, we wanted to really, you know, emphasize that relationship between the actor, the subject in this case, and those 100 key students around him or her. And I think that's worked out very well, and that is about the final third of each of the shows.
Inside the Actors Studio, the brand new season on a brand new network Ovation. It begins this Sunday night with Alec Baldwin and Henry Winkler in conversation before the students of the Actors Studio from Pace University's campus right near the Brooklyn Bridge in New York. And the show premieres this Sunday night on Ovation, 10 p.m. Eastern at 7 p.m. Pacific time. We've got the two key people involved in the show. From Ovation, the Executive Vice President of Network Savvy is a gentleman, and the Executive Producer of the series, Sue Schreiberg. And they're both with us live from Los Angeles. This half hour on tomorrow will be televised. Time to have on with you live from New York. Live you're with us this Friday afternoon. If, of course, you're coming for our guest, ring it in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And a week from Monday on our program, we will have the creator and showrunner of the new NBC series Perfect Harmony on Thursday night, Leslie Wake Webster. And coming up later in the month on Tomorrow Be Televised, we'll have one of the founding people behind the popular Nickelodeon series Blue's Clues, which is getting a reboot in November as Blue's Clues and You. Tracy Paige Johnson, the co-creator of Blue's Clues, will be with us live. That's all coming up later this month. 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, Mondays and Fridays, except for this coming Monday, we'll be on 2:30, half hour earlier Eastern, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Stu, another highlight of Inside's run was the shows which featured a cast of a series or the cast of a movie. Are any of the episodes going to have that kind of thing, an all-cast show?
There may be cast shows in the future, but at least in the first eight, it's one-on-one. It's all one-on-one. And that was really, for most of the, you know, it became cast shows because, frankly, those became easier to book because they were clearly designed to promote a specific project. We're trying to do real career interviews one-on-one, and then we will open it up to cast if it fits. But in the first eight, it's all one-on-one.
And how much of the production crew were you able to bring back for this version of Ovation? And also, I mentioned Daniel Benavente's music. Are you going to be using that again as the theme?
No, there's some people that have remained, but it's largely a new team. It's a new team of people that are very experienced. You know, many of them come from news backgrounds. They come from CNN. They come from, some of them have even gone back to working on the Barbara Walters interviews. So it's a very, very experienced team. It's largely, I would say, new. The graphics, the music is all new. I mean, we wanted to also create, you know, our 2.0 version of what Inside the Actor's Studio can be.
Lynn, when you have a show like this, it's been around for a quarter century, and people have become used to the format, and now you have new direction, new format, and so forth. How do you manage the expectations for the audience? How do you do that in promoting the series?
I think in promoting the series, we're providing a variety of ways for people to sort of get reacquainted with the series. Part of it is the traditional way of just pulling out, you know, clips that are great moments between Alec and Henry that we want people to see so that they could tune in. Part of it are funny moments. You know, there's a lot, because there's such comfort between, you know, in this case, Alec and Henry, there were so many funny moments, and I think that we decided to sort of showcase that to the audience, that these are real people discussing real stories, and it's not a serious thing that is, you know, not entertaining and enjoying to watch. And while it is dedicated to the students students in the audience for life lessons in acting and directing, we wanted it to be approachable to anyone that would be interested in listening, in this case, to either Alec or Henry. And so there's funny outtakes that we pushed in our marketing campaign to reignite people with the show and maybe give it a lighthearted version for them to sort of tune in and watch. At the same time, we're still promoting, key moments, the aha moments that we found throughout the interview between Alec and Henry. And I think that's our plan. And we're also sprinkling in, the fact that this is an Emmy Award-winning program, and it has incredible credentials and known recognition factors in and of itself. So we're bringing back that critical acclaim in addition to the great moments throughout the show and the lighthearted moments to make you laugh and make you feel like you can enjoy watching this without having to feel as if it's a serious lesson.
So yeah, No, go ahead, Steve.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I was going to say the essence of the show remains the same, right? You're going to sit back and watch a really compelling interview. In a world where everything is constantly sped up, this is an hour where you could really let people talk, right? You could really have a real conversation that doesn't feel like it has to begin and end in 3 minutes. And so it benefits from the very essence of why it was so popular, from so many years. What we've tried to do is to contemporize it a bit in the way we shoot it, in the interaction with the students, to give it a little bit more, to just give it a little bit more of a contemporary feel. If you shot this show 20 years ago versus shooting it today, the entire camera configurations have changed, and you could make people feel even more intimate. You could really be, like as Liz was saying, they're literally 5 feet away from you in your living room. We wanted to just give it a little bit more of a visual style than it previously had, while preserving, of course, the dignity and the grace of these great one-hour interviews.
Of all the guests and hosts you've had on in these first few weeks, what's been the most unique partnership or the dynamic duo that you put together that turned out to be very surprising?
It's a great question. Henry and Alec are terrific. Because Henry is really an interviewer's dream, right? He's so forthcoming, so honest. The anecdotes are funny. He's amazingly relatable, and that's one that is like a slam dunk, because Henry is just he's been known to be a great interviewee. But then we look at something like Ellen Burstyn interviewing Al Pacino, which we just shot literally a week ago. And I don't think I don't think Al necessarily enjoys doing most interviews about himself. I don't think he necessarily enjoys promoting, projects. But surrounded by the warmth of those students, and coupled with the respect that he has for Ellen, he was remarkably candid, remarkably relaxed, very, very compelling. And he seemed to genuinely love being there. And I would say that in looking at the first eight interviews, that's what comes to mind, I think, is the last one we shot with Al and Ellen, because Al was so different than so many of the other shorter interviews I've seen him do. He really seemed to be in the moment, and I think it is – and talk about funny. I think Al is so charming in this piece, and you really get not just a career interview, but an insight to Pacino that I don't think you've ever seen before. So that one sticks out.
Liz, before we go, do you see Inside being a springboard to where your network is headed next year? And can you say anything you can say about what, in terms of programming, original shows, Ovation's got coming up for 2020?
There's a couple of announcements that I could make on that front, and maybe in another month we could talk again, because we'll have some further announcements that I'm not at liberty to make right now. But we're going to bring back another season of Murdoch Mysteries. We're going to bring back another season of Frankie Drake Mysteries. These are our fan favorites. Our audience just loves these shows. They're scripted dramas with an international flair. We're also going to be doing a documentary series called Artists to Icons. It's going to premiere on January 10th, and there are 10 episodes that we, I'm sorry, on January 12th, there are 10 episodes where we basically are looking at the careers from the early days of these artists to the peak of their stardom. So we're looking at Tom Hanks, Julia Roberts, Jim Carrey, Madonna, Cher, Tom Cruise, Nicole Kidman, Denzel Washington. These are iconic actors and musicians and artists in their own right. And we're dedicating a documentary series under the name Artist to Icons starting January 12th. We also have a continuation of our AVOD service called Journey. And that's really all about the intersection of cultural travel. And we're featuring a program called Chasing the Sun. It's season 2 right now. We started season 1 in Florida, New York, Cuba, Brazil, Jamaica. And season 2 is throughout Asia, Malaysia, Vietnam, Indonesia, Hong Kong. And this is really about looking at the local food, the local art, the local culture, and allowing people to sort of be transported into those places, that environment, getting familiar with the local customs, all through the comfort of your home. And the other thing that I really wanted to mention is our continuation of our advocacy campaign called Stand for the Arts. And this is an initiative that we've launched several years ago. We have so many cultural institutions that are part of this initiative, from Alvin Ailey to the National Hispanic Foundation for the Arts to the American Film Institute, so many organizations and many, many individuals. And what we do is we produce short-form content that we promote throughout Facebook channels and our social media and digital channels on air, and we really just shine a light on how these organizations are providing good artful community work on a national basis or on a regional basis, and it helps to promote the mission and the importance of the arts in our country. And that's an initiative that we started years ago, and we are continuing to promote that initiative and to show how the arts really matter, and especially in our current environment, the art is something, arts are something that unifies us, makes us feel good about ourselves as people, as community. It brings us together, and that's a mission that that we're proud of, and we're going to continue to push that mission through.
The second quarter century of the award-winning series Inside the Actors Studio begins this Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific Time on Ovation. Check your locals for where that network is available in the area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program online, OvationTV.com. That's OvationTV.com. Inside the Actors Studio, Season 23, the second 25 years begins this Sunday night. Liz Chapman, Dick Schweiker, thank you both for coming on. Congratulations on picking up Inside, a wonderful show. I've been a big fan of it for years, and hopefully another 25 years in the offering. And it's been a pleasure to have you both on.
Thank you, Simon.
Simon, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Liz and Stu. Have a sensational weekend.
You too.
You too. Bye-bye.
Liz Chapman and Stu Schweiker from Ovation Inside the Actors Studio joining us live from Los Angeles. Coming up next, we'll have Alexander Pina from the Sales Media Group, and we'll find out what they are doing in terms of new television projects and the TV scene overall. We'll get to that after we pause after the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio and Spreaker.com. More than 35 million listeners around the world every month and growing. BTR Spreaker is your home for Sports Time Radio. Check it out tonight, 6 p.m. Eastern. Be there to sit it. A lot about the college football, pro football weekend, about the Major League Baseball playoffs, WNBA playoffs, which the Warriors Mystics won last night in the Hank and Sun. Great game of a best of five series, and a whole lot more. Sports Time Radio, 6 p.m. tonight, 3 p.m. Eastern, and then 3 p.m. Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. Don't forget Best BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Abba, I'm with you along the way in New York. 63 degrees at the top of the hour. And coming up next, we're going to speak with, for the first time, an organization that's involved with a service that we actually covered on this program, introduced to you on this program, about 4 or 5 years ago, called NET-TV. Joining us live from New York is Senior Manager of the Sales Media Group, Alexandra Pina. Alexandra, thank you for coming aboard. Alexandra, you're on.
Oh, I'm sorry. How you doing? Hi, Simon. Thank you for having me on.
Very well, Alexandra. I'm happy to have you aboard. Tell us what the Sales Media Group is all about.
So the Sales Media Group is the premier destination for Catholic media and technology. We are also part of the communication arm of the Diocese of Brooklyn and Queens. Aside from that, we have a linear channel called NET-TV, where you have Catholic programming, inspirational programming, a lot of Pope coverage, and the first Catholic news program, Current News.
Now, when we covered this project, I think it was like 4 or 5 years ago, it was basically a New York-based programming service that was carried on the cable systems of the New York metropolitan area. Are there any plans or have there been efforts to bring the program nationally?
Well, DeSales has decided to shift their focus more on a couple of components. News is one of the biggest components. Current News is growing. They cover international world news as well as New York local from a Catholic perspective. The second component is the technology. The technology that DeSales is creating, developing, and implementing. We would be the pioneers for the rest of the Catholic institutes across the United States. And then the third component is multicultural programming. Obviously, every brand and television network is very aware of the majority-minority hashtag initiative that's going on. And the Hispanic population is growing where everyone's taking notice and wanting to create content for this specific segment.
And by the way, if you have a question or comment for Alexandra, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04. By the way, coming up later this half hour, our classic trivia question of the week. So stay tuned. You could win some prizes if you know the answer to our current question. Now, speaking of the multicultural audience, specifically Latinos, I understand that your company is working on a specific project. Tell us all about it.
Yes. So obviously we see the numbers. You know, as of today, we're at 59 million Latinos in the U.S. That's 18% of the population. We're growing by, and I'm saying we because I am a Latina as well. We are growing by 2060. It's projected that we will be 28% of the U.S. population. That is huge. So with that, I'm heading up an initiative to create a Hispanic content brand that actually caters to the Hispanics, because I got to tell you, there's some challenges out there. I mean, a lot of the brands know that they have to cater to the Hispanics, but guess what? They're using translation as a form of their method. They're translating the English content to Spanish and saying, okay, that's enough. We've done our part. But it takes more than that. You have to speak to the Latino community with authenticity. You have to speak to them actually being a positive role model from the Latino community. And, you know, knowing that the Hispanics are growing in a population, aside from that, being early adapters of new technology, being heavily natural influencers, and consuming more than 52 hours of online content a week, that makes them kind of like top priority. So we really have to start looking at how to create content for the Latino, not only translating, they're really coming with authenticity, coming with culture, and we want to be spoken to in English. A lot of people think, oh, yeah, we'll just translate things in Spanish. That's good enough. No, we're U.S.-born Hispanics. We are Americans. We want to be spoken to in English, but talk to us from our culture, mix it up with a little salsa in there, and you have a really good mix to create a really strong brand that can deliver a great following.
Latinos, by the way, are also, along with other people of color, big patrons of smart TV sets and smart TV devices. They made big contributions to watching 10 billion hours of content and apps a month, as we have discussed in this program. And they, along with women, along with other communities, along with different age groups, whether it's baby boomers or the millennials or Gen X and Y, have become major, major users of smart TV sets and smart devices. What would your brand stand for? What kind of content do you see this venture producing?
The brand would stand for positive messaging. You know, we need to create more, you know, contenido positivo. We need to inspire people. You know, there's a lot of negative news out there. There's high suicide rate. You know, people are lonely. Even in the big city of New York with millions and millions of people, people feel alone. If we could create content that inspires people, that makes them feel good, that actually calls them to action to do the right thing in life, so that everyone is kind of doing the right thing in life, it makes a really good mix, and I think it's needed. People want this. People want feel good. That's why in the movie industry, faith-based films are spiking up. Why? Because people want feel good family entertainment. Why is Disney streaming working so well for them? Because people want to have a platform where they can watch all sorts of content with their family. So we're really moving into phases, right? So we went into phases with scripted television, then we went into phases with reality TV, and now we're going into a phase where people just want inspiring stories, feel good stories, stories of people doing good, success stories. People want to hear that. They want hope. They want inspiration. They want to get up in the morning and be happy. Let's be happy, Simon.
So what's the timetable for this brand actually reaching viewers? And if you see this as a 24/7 service, you see it as a service that will be available on smart TV sets and devices or on in some way on broadcast or on cable. What's sort of the game plan here?
That's a good question. So this is going to be a digital brand. Obviously, we're looking at how technically fluid the Hispanics are. So this would definitely be YouTube channel, have our own website, and reach the masses through digital. That's what we're looking for. It's going to probably be released in 2021. We're still in execution and planning stage at this point, and we're just trying to make it right. We're trying to make sure that we have enough focus groups and that we're talking to the right people and getting insights and creating partnerships to really make this brand stick out and give the Hispanic community, multicultural aspect, a really good content to watch and to be inspired and to share.
And this would, I would assume, be a national brand, as opposed to just a local brand for New York.
Exactly. That's why you go digital, because digital is mundial. It's the world. It's not only national. It reaches everyone. And we see that the different networks are deepening to that. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Got that. We're speaking about Alexandra Panda. She's a senior manager with the Sales Media Group, which is based here in New York, and they are working, as you just heard, on a brand-new digital, possibly smart TV set, smart device distributed brand of content that would happen in 2021. As I said, she joins us live here in Brooklyn, New York, where they are based, here this half hour on Smart TV Televised. Simon Avon, we do live from the web, New York, 63 degrees at the top of the hour. If you have a question or comment for Alexandra, give us a ring, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04. By the way, welcome somebody who just came into our chat room, SimonApple04. By the way, you'll find it at the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Don't forget, Monday, we have a 90-day edition that kicks off a half hour earlier than normal, 2:30 Eastern. That's 11:30 a.m. Pacific time. And joining us will be one of the key executives at Chicken Soup for the Soul Entertainment, Michael Winter. He's also the executive producer of a brand new series on Crackle, available on smart TV sets and devices, formerly owned by Sony, now by Chicken Soup. And the show is called Going From Broke. And it's with Ashton Kutcher as an executive producer. It's all about people hitting the financial skid and trying to get back to financial independence. A very interesting show. And we'll find out what Chicken Soup, by the way, is doing in the area of smart TV programming with Crackle and beyond. Also on the program, the co-executive producers with Steven Soderbergh, a brand new star documentary series, Leavenworth, Paul Bukowski and David Check, and the brand new managing director of NYC's Media Lab, Stephen Rosenbaum. Also, we'll have a show to know about a TV series that's very popular in England called Tipping Point. It may be the most unique game show in any area of television right now, and I'll tell you why I think it ought to come to the United States. It's on YouTube. If you want to check it out over the weekend, please do. It's a very fun show, and I think it has a great chance. If somebody were to take it on the United States, I think it would work. That's all coming up. 2:30 Eastern, 11:30 a.m. Pacific time, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. What is DeSales thinking about this world of smart TV sets and smart devices and video on demand and all sorts of services that are that people are able to get to get through these products?
So that's interesting you say that. With the smart TVs and my venture with measurements and getting measurements for the linear channel, you know, it was a big discovery for me because, you know, we usually go to Nielsen. That was the traditional way. But with the explosion of OTT streaming media, I mean, it created a space for companies to start creating a different way of measurements. And one of them is Inscape. I actually met an engineer called Z who started Inscape, which is a division of the Vizio products, right, where they do automatic content recognition. And this actually blew my mind because they were able to model, get you the attributes, the behaviors of the customers, and just get you more granular data than a Nielsen panel could. And that really changed the game. And then you started seeing, you know, smaller companies, Video Amps and 4C come up because they were doing similar type of measurements, cross-platform measurements, which really changed the game for Nielsen. They had to put a little more work in what they were doing and start creating different business modeling to start competing against this.
Do you see a role, by the way, for this new brand with interactive television, given the fact that it looks like we're now in the age of interactivity and we're now starting to see things like Food Network Kitchen, which will launch before the end of this month, Echo from Walmart, that will soon become an interactive TV platform, and such as like what Netflix is doing with their interactive shows like Bandersnatch, where people can use interactivity, particularly artificial intelligence, connected to their television set or remote control, where they can use their voice to do everything from change the direction of a TV series to ordering a product or a service.
Of course, we have to stay within the times, and artificial intelligence is actually becoming more and more popular in everything we do, from Alexa products to the content that you watch. So everything is going into personalization. We're not looking at a household. We're looking at individual people now. And that's a big way of looking at things. And if you don't include that in your roadmap, then your content will stay behind. So, yes, the sales is looking at that closely. We do have a growth team, really aspiring data scientists, and we're really working together that when we build this brand, that we will be looking at personalization, curating, and making sure that we're staying on top of trends and including artificial intelligence technology with the content that we'll be releasing.
What do you think of this overall environment of television where we're now seeing services like Apple TV, Food Network Kitchen, Disney Plus, and so on break out over the next year?
It's really exciting. I think it's really fun to see the competition out there, to see these brands really work and create a brand positioning for them. Because if you look at all, you know, you go to your Roku, you go to your Chromecast or all these different Fire Sticks, and you're like, what's different? Well, why would I want to buy, you know, 10 different services when I'm a cord cutter? I don't want to spend $200 a month on television. What makes this different? And then when you see companies like Apple and Disney really get at the market share of what Netflix built, it's really, really fun to watch the competition and the innovation and how they're coming up with original programming. I mean, I know 10 years ago, I never thought Apple would be original programming distributor. Those are things that you look at now and you're like, wow, this is really a game changer. When you're looking at Apple's price coming up at $4.99 per month, which releases in November 1st, and then Disney Plus, Disney's buying everything out. They even have shares in Hulu. And Disney's rival price next to Netflix at $7. These are game changers. This is digital disruption. And I feel like it's very fun to watch, and you want to know the innovation, you want to be part of it, so it's a really exciting time.
Mm-hmm. And how do you see these services? I also want to point out Apple Arcade, the video game service Apple just launched a few weeks ago, where you can play games interactively using your voice and a special controller as opposed to a big console like PlayStation or Xbox. How do you see these services impacting diversity on television?
These services with the voice automation, including that in the artificial intelligence, I think it's just another way to build community and get these people really involved in the new technology. You know, I've been to a couple of NYC Media Lab as expos where you see the young, the youth, the generation really building out some of these products and putting a lot of thought into these startups. So I think it does a lot for the community and for the youth that is growing consistently. This is their time. This is their era. And we need to keep up with their technology and what they're creating.
As a matter of fact, we did a show live 2 weeks ago from the Media Lab Summit. I mean, it was marvelous. And we had Joshua Ness from Verizon Media, who talked about 5G. And incidentally, he will also be the subject of an upcoming column that hopefully will be out next week in Media Village, MediaVillage.com, where we get into this whole idea of 5G television, which a lot of people, I think, are going to be very surprised at, and the impact that is going to have on how people watch and use TV.
I agree. And what they do is exceptional. You know, all these media labs are popping up. MIT has one. I'm actually attending an executive program at MIT with artificial intelligence. And, you know, what the media labs do here in New York and really give the opportunity to the youth, to the entrepreneurs, and to the college students to really co-create and manifest these amazing innovations. It just blows my mind. I mean, I know my son in school now, he is a freshman in high school, but in eighth grade, he was already in STEM engineering, and his school had a maker studio to cultivate the youth to start creating and being, you know, individual startups and entrepreneurs. So it's a really exciting time for all of us. I think I continually keep on learning from the youth, and where our technology is driving us is pretty out of this world.
Mm-hmm. Final question, Alexandra. What's it been like to work at the sales and to guide people who work at your place through this environment that could offer so much, not just in diversity on television, but also really expand in a huge way what people can see and how people can use the medium?
Well, here at the Sales Media, we have a really amazing culture. You know, our leadership fosters family support. So we're really a family component. And when we talk about digital disruption and just onboarding with this new technology and how to work differently now, because that's what it is. We all, across the board, all media needs to start working differently. We're not working in little cubicles. We have to be collaborative, brainstorming sessions. You know, I'm very fortunate that the sales media has always been very versed on technology, and we all have the latest equipment to get our job done and to be in these collaborative workspaces. And, you know, they just foster our ideas. It's a great place to work. I do encourage anyone to go to our website, and if there's any openings from producers, reporters, copywriters, please go ahead and apply, because it really is a family culture, and they foster technology, and they promote within, and they also promote for you to be educated and know your job and master your art. So, you know, it's a really great place to work. I can't say enough about it.
One more place of lab, if you will, that people should keep an eye out for here in New York, and that's the upcoming Warren Media Innovation Lab that will be offered in Manhattan at the Chelsea and downtown Chelsea, not far from the new place in Hudson Yards, and that will be opening up next year. And we're going to keep in touch with the people at that lab. By the way, the story we did in Media Village a few months ago about the making of that lab and what that's going to do, and we hope to have the people from the lab on an upcoming Tomorrow Be Televised in 2020 when that facility does open. If you want more details about where Alexandra works and what they're up to and about the Hispanic brand that they're going to cause, here's where you go online, thesalesmedia.org. That's thesalesmedia.org. Alexandra Pina, Senior Manager at The Sales Media here in New York. Thanks again for joining us. Let's stay in touch on the Hispanic brand that you're doing, and we definitely want to follow through with it as it gets ready to be seen by the American public. And we appreciate you coming on board this Friday.
I appreciate you having me. It was a lot of fun. Thank you, and thanks for all the support.
You're very welcome, Alexandra. Have a super weekend. Take care.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Alexandra Pina joining us live from New York. And incidentally, I also want to thank Gloria Lee, who was scheduled to be on our show today. Gloria, unfortunately, had a bow at the last minute, but she recommended Alexandra come on. I'm thankful that she did. And we will try to get Gloria back on any future program. Our contest trivia question coming up shortly, but first, a quick word from the fine folks at Audible.com. Are you looking for an interesting book about how women are these days, especially with their desires? We got one for you. It's an audio book called Three Women by Lisa Tadio, and you can catch it right now with a trial run with Audible.com. If you haven't heard, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment, education, and information too, and inspiration as well. And there's over 180,000 titles to choose from. You listen to any of these audio books on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and iHeartRadio. And that includes a great new catalog of Audible Originals, original audio productions, the best of Broadway, regional theater, and off-Broadway from around the country, and great one-woman and one-man shows. And the best thing is, you can get two of those Audible Originals when you sign up for a 30-day trial, which allows you to get three audiobooks and try them out for a month. All you got to do is sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. You get great customer service also from the fine folks at Audible's parent, Amazon.com. Check it out for yourself and hear why Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. Now time for our classic trivia question of the week. We've had it up for the last week and a half. And our prize in play are two books. Brant Kadinick's The 3-Minute Rule, Save Less to Get More from Any Picture Presentation, and from the head of the Consumer Technology Association, Gary Shapiro, his popular book, The Comeback, How Innovation Will Restore the American Dream. The question, how many seasons of Law & Order Special Victims Unit did Olivia Benson have a partner, played by Mariska Hargitay? How many seasons of Law & Order SVU, now in season 21, did Olivia Benson have a partner? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. If you missed the question, we'll post it tomorrow morning and throughout the weekend if need be on Facebook and on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. That's UBCSimonTWBT. But get in the game and win. All you have to do is play in and remember all the very best. Again, thanks to all our guests for being with us throughout the hour. Thank all of you for tuning in. Remember, Monday we come your way a half hour earlier than normal, 2:30 Eastern, 11:30 a.m. Pacific. And joining us will be one of the key executives of Chicken Soup for the Soul Entertainment, Michael Winner. He's also executive producer of the new Crackle series, Going From Broke. Also, from the new Starz documentary series with Steven Soderbergh involved, Leavenworth, we'll have executive producers Paul Pawlowski and David Sheck. And the new managing director of the NYC Media Lab, we talked about this past half hour, Stephen Rosenbaum. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up with episodes you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out our podcasts. They're available 24/7 throughout the weekend at iTunes, Apple TV, the Speaker Podcast app, and iHeartRadio.com. And don't forget to check out my tomorrow televised columns at Media Village, the www.mediavillage.com. And also, our wonderful After the H Labs program I did with Lloyd Carroll of the Queen's Chronicle. You can catch that on my Facebook page, also available on YouTube and a podcast site near you. Remember, we love hearing from you. Email me, use Facebook and Twitter, because what you say matters. Views expressed in this program are those of the participants on Fiddler, the Blog Talk Radio Speaker, and iHeartRadio. Tomorrow's Televised is brought today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Remember, Audible transforms the way you hear the world. For Tomorrow's Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. A fantastic weekend. We are back on Monday. Remember, half hour earlier than normal, 2:30 Eastern, 11:30 Pacific, 9 edition, you know where, Blog Talk Radio Speaker, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Whatever you're up to this weekend, please make it safe and make it great. And until next time, stay well and stay tuned.